by Bill Mueller back to read the scripture for us.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw. How are you doing? In today's scripture, Moses is reminding the people of the Exodus to praise God for all the blessings that they have received. He's also reminding us that we should praise God for the blessings that we receive. And as we enter into the Advent season, it is important for us to remember this praise, for it's the time when God sent his Son to us to show us the way. For Jesus came, as it was said in Matthew, to tell the gospel the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. So please listen to your own personal message as I read from God. Please listen to your personal message from God as I read Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 18. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commandments, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will be proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end you might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to you, your ancestors, as it is today. Bless the reading of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. A little girl whose father was a disc jockey and a radio announcer was invited to a friend's house for dinner when she arrived. The mother asked the little girl if she would honor them by saying the blessing before the meal. It delighted the little girl, as you might imagine. She cleared her throat and looked at her wristwatch and then said, this food is coming to you through the courtesy of Almighty God. Well, she was right. All food that we eat does come to us through the courtesy of Almighty God. Thanksgiving is a very special time of year. Couldn't you feel the anticipation building up in our society as we approach Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving weekend? Well, maybe not. Unfortunately, Thanksgiving is not a high priority for many people in our society anymore. Thanksgiving has kind of become a stepping stone for Black Friday. We just kind of jump right over it. We forget to stop and say, thank you, God, for what you've given to me, for the blessings that I've received from above. You know, the pilgrims, we say, well, they had reason to thank God because you blessed them. You got them through a difficult winter and you gave them something to eat. But we can just run out to Giant Eagle and we can get something to eat. We don't have to worry about that. We're not in the same category. So what do I really have to be thankful about in my life? David Fetters put it this way, for many of us, Thanksgiving doesn't come naturally. It doesn't seem natural that we should be saying thank you, God, for what I have in my life. Some of us would rather admit it, whether we admit it or not, are like Bart Simpson in one episode. Young Bart sits down with the family to a meal. When he turns to pray and give thanks, he says something to this effect. Lord, my dad earned all the money. My mom did all the cooking. Why am I thanking you? And that's the attitude a lot of people have in society today. And it's a very bad way to be. No thanks to God for what they have in their life. Too many people are more concerned about what they don't have in their life. I don't have the car that is nice as the neighbor's, or the house, or our biggest bank account, or I don't have the right brand of shoes on my feet. We hear humorous stories sometimes about people and the promises we've made to God. I remember when I was younger, before I was a Christian, promising God, if you'd just get me out of this situation, what I would do for him. I think we've all been there. I heard about one man in a terrible storm, and he promised God, if he'd just get out of this terrible windstorm, blinding and the sand coming at him. And he had his oxen. He said, if I survive this, I'll give you 20 oxen. Then the sandstorm quieted down. He started thinking, why do I need to give God 20 oxen? The winds have subsided. I'm going to get out of this fine. I'll just give him some nuts. So he kept walking to where he was going to go to. And then he got hungry, so he ate the nuts. When he got there, he offered the empty shells as his sacrifice. Empty lives and empty promises seem to go hand in hand. As we are in this Thanksgiving weekend in Christ the King Sunday, giving thanks for some of us is a foreign concept. Even biblical writers found it necessary to issue a corrective statement for people who had ingratitude in their lives. Bill read in Deuteronomy these stirring words, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." He was talking about the Jewish people as they were going into the land that God had promised them. And it goes on to say, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he's given you." And then goes on to talk about people forgetting the Lord who had brought them out of slavery. Isn't that what we have a tendency to do sometimes? We've gone through a tough situation. We forget about how God has helped us. And even sometimes we pat ourselves on the back. Oh, I got myself out of this situation. But we are called to remember, to pause long enough to think about what God has done for us. So easy to lose track of our blessing in this helter-skelter world that we live in. It's so easy to come to Thanksgiving, have our meal, then go into our bedrooms, put on our camouflage outfits, put on our black paint, war paint, and get ready to go shopping. I got an email from my niece on Facebook, and some of you may have done it. She went shopping from 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. the next day. Man, I think the longest I've ever shopped is about 30 minutes. And I had to lay down after that. Often we forget to thank God just for the daily blessings, the daily bread that we eat, the water that we have to drink. When you go to a place that they have to go to a river to wash their clothes, or walk somewhere just to pump the water, to have drinking water, we forget how blessed that we are. And how often we forget that everything comes from God. A man went to his physician complaining about hurting. He said, every time I touch my wrist, it hurts. If I touch my stomach, it hurts. If I touch my back, it hurts. The physician finally said, "Sir, you've got a broken finger." You know, it's usually not the circumstances that we are to blame. We're like the man with the broken finger, focusing on those other areas when the problem lay in the finger that he was using to examine the problem. Ungrateful people are usually troubled in their hearts and in their souls. The problem is not outside, but the problem is on the inside. And the cure is to start looking at Almighty God and start being grateful to God. Get your mind off of your circumstances and your problems and start looking to God and being thankful to God. I'm not saying that's easy to do. For Thanksgiving to take place in our lives, we need to focus more on God, the presence of God, and less on ourselves and what God has done for us. Max Lucado talks about a boy named Paul in a tornado in West Texas. I went to college in Texas, and I've told you this before. After I left Texas, someone sent me some pictures of where I was living, and it was totally destroyed by a tornado. One wall was left standing. I would have probably stayed there, knowing me. But at the first hint of trouble, his father sent everyone to the floor, mattress over them. And little Billy all of a sudden realized that his father was not under the mattress with him. So he peeked out from under the mattress, and he saw his father standing by the window. So he got out and he ran to his father and he grabbed, ran his father's leg as his father looked out the window and watched a tornado hip hop across and go the other direction. And later asked, "Why did you go and grab your father's leg?" He said, "Because I believed that the safest place to be in that tornado was with my father." And the safest place any of us can be in our life at all times is to be holding on to our Heavenly Father. Holding on to Jesus Christ as our Lord. Holding on to the Holy Spirit that empowers us. The pilgrims knew that the safest place to stand in a storm was in the presence of God and to be thanking God for what had happened. It's the same focus on God that allowed St. Paul to write in Thessalonians 5, "Pray constantly and give thanks to God in all circumstances." It didn't say to thank God for the circumstances. It said to thank God through the circumstances. It didn't say, "Thank God you've given me cancer, or you've given me a headache, or you've given me a financial problem," but thank God through it. It's the same focus that allowed Jesus to give thanks in his darkest hour when he was at the table with the disciples. It says he knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen to him. And what did he do? He broke the bread. And it says, and he gave thanks. And he knows he's going to the cross. He gave thanks. What a wonderful thing. In a recent comic strip, a son asked his father, "Why do we always have turkey on Thanksgiving?" The father said, "Well, it's tradition." He said, "What's a tradition?" His brother interrupts and says, "It's something we've been doing so long that we've forgotten why we do it." Boy, isn't that a truth sometimes? I'm afraid that's what Thanksgiving, the day of Thanksgiving, is about. We forget why we're having Thanksgiving. Some people think it's so we can stay home and watch the Lions and another team play football, or so we can have a day off from work, or so we can have a big meal. But we give thanks, we're reminded our responsibility to others. That is why people often open up their hearts and their wallets to disaster victims, to families who don't have as much as we might have. But not everyone gets caught up in the same spirit of giving and thanksgiving. You saw the movie Sister Act. The Reverend Mother is approached by a priest about giving a showgirl played by Whoopi Goldberg in the convent for safekeeping. And sensing her reluctance, the priest says, "You made a vow of hospitality to help the needy." And the Reverend Mother says, "Well, I lied." Well, Thanksgiving reminds us of our interdependence with others, our need to be with one another. We share a common humanity, and there are those in need. It is our responsibility as followers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, to help those who are in need. A Thanksgiving Day editorial in a newspaper talked about a teacher who told this story, had him draw something about Thanksgiving. Thought everybody would draw, you know, people sitting around a dinner plate or turkeys. And one little boy just drew a hand, and not very well. And students were trying to guess what the hand meant. And they guessed several things, you know, the hand of God and different things like that. Finally, the teacher went over to him and asked, what is the hand? And the little boy said, "It's your hand." And she realized that she always grabbed his hand to take him out, like to recess or to lunch, because he was a little bit forlorn and kind of stood out from everybody else. And that meant so much to him. Her reaching out her hand to him. A simple thing to do. Didn't cost her really anything. I think sometimes we forget that our hands are the hands that God uses. These hands, your hands, whatever it might be. Mary Angelou once said something very beautiful and meaning. She said that giving liberates the soul of the believer. Whatever it is that we give, our time, our energy, our money, our heart, our soul, when we share with the needy, the hurting, the lonely, the sick. And real Thanksgiving takes place when we yield our hearts to God. And I believe that's what the deacons did, and they've been doing for 22 years now. That Thanksgiving dinner, and we sent out letters to the community, to other churches, inviting people that don't have anywhere to eat Thanksgiving dinner, or if they did, they would have to go to a restaurant, or they would be alone, or maybe they can't afford to eat, and they come down here. And this year we had 72 or 73 people, the most ever. And you cook, you clean, you set up tables, you give of your time on Thanksgiving morning when you could be doing something else, and you touch those people's hearts. And that's why people call people and they put a card in my pocket thanking me. And I go around and just so much thanks, and they say, "I'll see you next year. This is so wonderful." And it is a wonderful thing. And I've said this before. My most favorite thing that we do. And the reason it is because I get to see the instant results and the joy and the happiness on the people's faces. And then the angel tree. Many of you will take an angel and you'll buy presents for those underprivileged children. And it'll make you feel wonderful. And then those who get to deliver the presents, they will feel so wonderful when they deliver it and they see the joy on the parents or the children when they see those presents coming into the houses. When you give of yourself, and I think the Larsons would say the same thing when they go on their medical missions, and they see the joy that it brings to people when they are helping someone else. Real Thanksgiving takes place when we focus on God and when we focus on others and when we yield our hearts to God. If you want to show the world that Christ is King, reach out to someone with your hands, with love and compassion. And I believe that we're doing it here at Glenshaw Valley. So we don't want to stop, and we want to find more ways to love and to serve and to give and to help. It's like taking up the clothes and the money and the food to send to the Sandy victims. It's a wonderful thing to do. So let's don't stop it. Thanksgiving. Is it really over? On the calendar, and a lot of people, it's over. For some, it never even began. But it's not over as long as we put God first in our hearts every day and try to get up every day and find something to be thankful for, regardless of the circumstances of your life. May God bless you. Amen.